Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
We want to give some props to the GB Zone. I mean, this is a guy. Going with the GB Zone?
Nowhere good, I know that. Destination unknown, but that destination was going to be bad. That's what it felt like. This is an insane turnaround, man. This is a turnaround that I personally never witnessed. I seriously have not. I've never seen a guy go from the absolute dog of the town and with 1 year remaining, just absolutely flips the narrative, and now he's holding the 15-20 minute long presser because he loves being up there because everybody's patting him on the back, and deservedly so.
Yeah.
This is amazing stuff. What's happening?
It's wild.
GB Zone. GB Zone.
All right, so here we go. Some Garrett Bowles from today. It's amazing. It's just,
now I want to know how to get in the GB Zone. We made fun of it all this time, and now I just want to know how to get there.
I don't know. Like the specifics of how to get there?
Yeah, I mean, how do we get to the GB Zone? What do we got to do?
Let's listen to him a little bit. All right, well, let's talk about it. He talked about, like, what he was trying to do to improve. Here's what he said.
Absolutely. I mean, I take my technique very seriously. You know, I think in the past, you know, I just used my athletic ability to get the job done. But I think the more I've been in the league, the more I watch film and I watch myself, the more I really dial in on the technical side of things. You know, you talk about some of the greatest tackles to play. You know, Joe Thomas, Jonathan Ogden, Joe Staley. Those guys were technicians for a reason. You know, they were a 10-time Pro Bowler, Hall of Fame players, first team ballot players because of what they did on the field with their technique. To the little things where taking sets barefoot in your kitchen to, you know, watching film, watching guys, looking on the outside shoulder, you know, hand movement, hand fights and things like that. I mean, those guys did it. And so, you know, just hearing from them and hearing their stories makes me want to just continue to go out there and work on my technique. And I take it seriously. Every day, every single time I watch film, I always focus on my technique. And hey, I turned a little bit too soon here, you know, got to my outside shoulder. So, you know, going into the weeks, I just, you know, fix those little things so it doesn't happen in the game.
All right, what do you think about that?
All pretty standard stuff. It's easy to say. It's hard to actually do. You know, when you're playing bad football, most of the time you know what you're doing. Like, I don't need to go to film. I don't need my coach to tell me that I opened up on my second kick and I had my shoulders perpendicular to the line of scrimmage, and that's why I gave up a sack. Like, I know that I did that. How do I actually fix it, right? Mm-hmm. So to be able to go into an offseason in which COVID's going on, you're not able to come into the building, you're not able to practice, there's no OTAs, you're out there in California on your own. Shoot, at one point, I'm sure we'll get to it here, but at one point he said he was taking pass sets in the kitchen on his wife.
I got that.
Yeah, go ahead, play. You got it?
Yeah.
It's funny.
Being a football player in the NFL, it's all about structure, right? Every man needs structure. I think that's why a lot of us are married, because our wife is the ones that does our structure for us. But anyways, I just think I didn't use it as an excuse. I think that was just something for me. You know, COVID is a serious thing that's happening in this world. And, you know, all my thoughts and prayers go out to all the people that have, you know, suffered from it or lost a loved one. I love you all and I hope you guys are good. But I really just took it upon myself because there was always something that you can do. You can always run. You can always take sets. Like I said, I took sets in my kitchen with barefoot so that when I get to the proper spot, I know exactly how my weight is between my feet and my toes. You know, I had my wife line up and she would run after me and I would take my sets and I'd put my hands on her. Not hard, of course, but just enough so I can get into a repetition of continuing to do the same thing over and over again.
I've done a lot of things in my career to get better, and I've done a lot of voodoo. I've hired some crazy gurus that I don't know if there's any science behind what they actually do or not.
Yeah.
I've taken thousands and thousands of reps. I've taken reps in the kitchen. I have. I've done that many times. I'm sitting there on the couch and I just pop up, I take a few sets. Never have I ever once asked my wife to take a pass rush on me.
Can you imagine your wife taking a pass rush on you? All right, honey, I'm saying.
right.
Okay. Yeah, all right, yeah. Honey, come around, play a game. You know, start one way and come the other.
I had my wife line up and she would run after me and I'd take my sets and I'd put my hands on her. Not hard, of course, but enough so I can get into a repetition of continuing to do the same thing over and over again.
Oh, my God.
He is enjoying being in front of the media, though. I mean, that is not an offensive lineman's response.
I had my wife come at me in the kitchen so I could work on my sets.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, man. I mean, that's the key. That's the key to turning it all around, potentially becoming a pro bowler, potentially getting franchise tagged, you know, maybe getting a long-term deal. You got to get in that kitchen. You got to go barefooted. Hey, and you got to take some pass sets on your wife.
Whatever. The guy's playing great, so if that was the deal, they should put some pots and pans together.
Now you're thinking.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, do defensive linemen, when they're rushing at you, or linebacker, whoever it is, are they yelling as they're coming at you?
Some of them. Yeah. Those usually pancake those guys.
Is that right?
That's right. Shut your mouth.
I mean, Garrett Bowles is a very large human being. I mean, I'm sure Garrett Bowles' wife is in terrific shape and everything, right. But I mean, you know.
Right.
That's funny. Good for him, man. Good for him. We're all having fun now. It's all fun now. You've never asked Liz to run at you?
No. Yeah.
How about your kids?
I have actually. Yeah. I have taken some pass sets with my kids before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of more fun.
Yeah.
Reminds me when I was 14 and 15 years old.
Oh my God.
I'm training with Warren Landau, who's now the strength coach for the Denver Broncos. He was working out of Inverness at the time. He was an absolute nobody, but he had these crazy athletes like Chad Brown and Romo, and he had this kind of cult following that was small.
Uh-huh.
And I'm 14 years old and I'm going over to this park in Lone Tree and I'm taking pass sets on Chad Brown and he's a pro bowler. I'm like, Warren actually asked me to do that for Chad. I don't know. I think he was really doing it for me just to like give me a little solid, but he's like, he tried to make me feel good. Hey, can you come out and get some pass sets for Chad?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I'm sure I made him a whole lot better.
Bowles today said he would go to a park and work with a tree.
Well, that's very Tim Tebow-esque right there.
Could you work with a tree? That's
Tim Tebow after practice, just chucking balls at the goalpost over and over and over.
Don Quixote. The Don Quixote of football throwing.
Right.
Fading light. Bunnies all around. There used to be trees.
You know what? This is a good point from the texter. Great point from the texter. What are we doing? Sign her as a defensive end if she made him that much better. Sign this lady up. We need her.
All right, and Stink had some. No, but listen, you guys have all been tough on Bowles. You guys, I'm talking about the offensive linemen here at the station.
Like you haven't.
Not like, hey.
Look at you.
First of all, if I've been tough on Bowles, my opinion doesn't matter as much as yours.
Okay.
I mean, come on.
Just remember.
No.
That.
It could never. I mean, if Bowles was doing a radio show.
This is an unbelievable backpedal right now, but go on, continue.
You gotta be kidding me.
Hey, I will accept responsibility that I called a spade a spade.
I get it, but the opinion of Orlando, Tyler Palumbus, Mark Schlereth means a hell of a lot more than me, Zach Bye, Mike Evans, Sandy Clough, Cecil Lammy. Give me a break. You know? I mean, it's just, hey, when players are tough on other players.
Hey, hold on, Richie. Could you save that soundbite right there? I could utilize that from now until eternity.
Listen, there's a laundry list where my opinion matters more than yours.
Oh, really?
Special teams. All right, but we'll hear from... I want you to react to what Stink was saying about Bowles. And I got another quote from Bowles that I actually kind of don't understand. So I need a little bit of a translation. That's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe. including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
You know, I had my wife line up and she would run after me and I would take my sets and I'd put my hands on her. Not hard, of course, but just enough so I can get into a repetition of continuing to do the same thing over and over again.
That was that Bolsey's wife coming at
him. Right, right.
Here's your guy.
Come here, honey.
I got you on that one. All right. I'll get to this thing here in a second, but I want you to explain this one to me. And I might have to break it down a little bit, okay? And then we'll get to stink. But listen to this. This is on Bowles. We're improving because we let our pride go.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I think we're improving because we let our pride go. I think over the years we had little issues with that, but I think now that all of us know what we want and what we want to accomplish, and it just starts to, we have a group chat that we text with each other.
All right, hold on. Explain that statement to me, what he just said.
Yeah, I really can't. I mean, you know, Garrett, when he gets up there, and I'm really not being a jerk here, but he rambles and he goes and he kind of, he gets into the GB zone and he just starts talking and he starts flowing. And I'm not quite sure that he knows where he's going when he starts, but he ends up there. And
so that literally meant nothing to
you.
Like,
you know, at the end of the day, when you listen to this entire presser, you do hear a couple themes with Garrett Bowles. It's woof. Like, and I'm not even kidding. That's a word that he uses
a
100 different times.
He does. Yeah.
And what does that mean? It's brotherhood. It's taking care of the guys that are in the offensive line room.
Being part of a family is obviously really important.
No doubt. No doubt about it. It's he talks about the offensive line group text and, you know, how much that means. And just, you know, when we're going out there and I got respect for Dot and he's got respect for me.
All right, well, I'm going to get to that in a second. But I'm curious about the pride go.
Like, sometimes he says some things that I just, I don't quite know what he means with it. I don't quite know what he means.
Okay, because I was like, oh, I didn't. Well, I mean, it's.
I think we're improving because we let our pride go. I think over the years we had little issues with that, but I think now that
we had issues with that. We let our pride go because over the years we had issues with that.
Again, I don't know what that means. What does that mean, D-Mac? You can read between the tea leaves on
if
this.
If I'm reading between the lines, and I, you know, value your opinion more because you've been in those rooms, you've been part of that. But if I had to read between the lines. To me, letting pride go means we had to work together more as a unit rather than as individuals. So to me, when you're talking about individual stuff, it means you're just doing things that benefit you more than the group. You're making a sacrifice if you let your ego or your pride go. That's what it would mean to me.
Yeah.
I
think so.
I don't even know how that would apply to offensive line play.
It was just one of those moments where you say something that you're trying to sound smart
or,
and it didn't quite mean anything.
Is he just talking about himself? I had to let my pride go. Well, I had to make changes.
I heard Zach Bye talking about that, and if there's a reasonable explanation, that's probably the most reasonable. That, yeah, Garrett, and this was Zach's whole take, I thought it was a good one, that Garrett had to let go of some of his pride, that he had been prideful, that he had been taking the exact same sets, that he had been wrapping his arms around a guy's neck and thinking you could take him down in a WWE move and it was never going to get called. And at some point he had to let that pride go and say, sure, all right, I'm going to let some people coach me and tell me what I need to do. And sure, but to be honest, I don't even think that's what he really
is. Well, I have more kind of more specific about that. We'll get to that. We'll get to stink. It's Hot Take Tuesday. Here we are right before Thanksgiving. So love to hear what's on your mind. We'll get it more deeper into the Saints tomorrow, but 303-713-1043. It's The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
We'll get to Stink and Mike are going to be here tomorrow. That's cool for the War Room. Let me finish off Bolsey. There's a lot of people want to psychoanalyze let your pride go, Tyler.
Okay. What are the best? What do we got?
Oh, there's one about it's because he's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and pride is a theological concept in his faith, and it kind of goes from there to letting pride go means taking to coaching and not being afraid of criticism. And this one, you guys literally say dumber shizzle every day than bowls.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, for sure. Not, for sure. That's for sure.
Not going to argue with that either. It is a Hot Take Tuesday. Hot Take Tuesday is presented by Papa Murphy's. Order your pizza for pickup today. So, again,
I think we're improving because we let our pride go. I think over the years we had little issues with that. But I think now that all of us know what we want and what we want to accomplish, and it just starts to – we have a group chat that we text with each other all the time, which I think extremely helps with, you know, camaraderie and everything like that. And
don't laugh. Close on that word. Like we could do better. Like we could do better on that.
He helps with, you know, camaraderie and everything like that. And I think guys want it. And I think that's the difference between us over the years is, you know, we want to win and we want to be the best. And that's what Coach Munchak prides us on, is to be the best. And, you know, to fix our mistakes when we can, but go out there, you know, balls to the wall and punch people in the throat. I mean, that's just what we want to do. We want to play nasty and dirty, and I think that's what we're bringing back to this organization that has missed for so many years.
Bringing back? Isn't that just kind of the mantra of every offensive line ever on every single team that's ever played?
Yeah, no doubt about it. 100%. You know, I think maybe he meant we have let our pride go. We previously have let our pride go.
Okay.
And we had to bring our pride back into it. Because I've always thought that pride was like a good thing when it comes to offensive line play. Like, take some pride in your work, man. Like, don't just be satisfied to get the job done. Don't just be satisfied that your guy didn't get a sack. Take some pride in your angle. Take some pride in the way that you got your shoulders parallel to the line of scrimmage. You know, maybe you just had it flipped.
Listen, I think the good news, and I got something else I want to play for you specifically. Mike Munchak and Chris Cooper have been fantastic.
Sure.
You can see, and it's a work in progress, but I have no doubts. First of all, the Broncos are very lucky that Coach Munchak was willing to take a lateral move from the Steelers to be out here because of family.
Yep.
Lucky.
Yep.
I feel the Broncos are lucky to have Chris Cooper, too, who I just have the highest regards for. And I think Chris will be. An offensive line coach, if not a higher level coach, if he chooses to, you know, down the line in his career.
Sure.
I think Chris is that type of guy. I really do believe position group wise, maybe aside from quarterback, offensive linemen in general are the smartest guys on a team. I think they have to be for what they have to figure out and who they have to be. I think they think of the game differently than every other position group. And in all honesty, what's a position group with a quarterback? It's one guy and the guys who support him. You know, you got to work together as an offensive line. We'll get to that in a second. So with all that being said, here's what Bowles said about, perhaps this is a little bit more specific about his coaching and why he's improved.
I just watched film. Like I said before, I really think I've just watched film over the years and really realized, hey, why am I continuing to making the same mistakes? I know last year when I told you I'm not going to change how I play, what I mean by like that is
I'm just going to pause that for a second. Wasn't that the most frustrating thing about looking at Bowles? The same mistakes?
Yeah. It was the same set. It was the same problems. It was the same holding penalties. It was all just the same, and nothing seemed to ever get fixed.
Okay. So this is him acknowledging that. The same criticism that was very common to him, he's saying, why was I doing it? Like, he didn't know why he was doing the same thing.
Making the same mistakes. I know last year when I told you I'm not going to change how I play, what I meant by like that is I'm not going to change my mentality of being a dog out there. I'll never change that mentality at all. What I did need to change is how I saw things and how I placed my hands and how I move my feet, how I keep my shoulders, my numbers square for two kick slides, or how I take two kick slides, pause, and I get on my guy. Those are the things I had to learn. And it took time. Like I said, when I first got here, I haven't played left tackle for a long time. So I had to learn by trial and error.
That is true. When he was at Utah, he had not played a lot of left tackle before because he's an athletic freak.
Mm-hmm.
He is an athletic freak. He's arguably the best athlete on the team. If he's not the best, he's got to be in the conversation. But he talks about technique things that feel like you could have been a little quicker to correct them until now. Or am I wrong on that? Is this part of the developmental time.
That's always been the frustration, is that you've always seen the athleticism. I saw it in the draft, and I was going way back to that draft. I was a huge advocate of the Broncos selecting Garrett Bowles because he was far and away the most athletic tackle in that class, and that included Ryan Ramczyk. And it was a little bit of a developmental deal. It was a little bit of potential, but I just felt like, man, this guy, if you could get this guy to settle into the craft and understand the technique, yeah, that's always been part of the frustration is, look, man, you've got the talent. You've got the ability. There's very few left tackles in the game that have got everything that you have athletically. And if you could just figure out how to not habitually make the same mistakes, you're going to be something pretty special.
And it looks right now, he's pretty special.
He's having a special year.
You know, it is just the crazy thing about developing at the professional level, where everybody wants that development to happen right away. And it is just a weird deal that for some guys, Tyler, they really do need more reps than other guys. It just is what it is. And it's so hard in the NFL to have the patience to let it play out because you don't know if you're going to be rewarded for it by the time you have to make a deal financially about a guy. And I am amazed. Hey, good for Garrett Bowles.
Well, to be honest, I think the Broncos, they locked out as much as they were committed to him. You know, they would have replaced him had they had somebody to replace him with. And that would have happened a couple years
ago. Well, it was supposed to be competition with him and Elijah Wilkinson this year, right?
And then that couldn't happen for a variety of different reasons. Elijah gets hurt. And,
Juwan James opted out.
Juwan James opts out. And, right, it just never happened. I mean, if they had the ability to replace him, they probably would have. So you got a little bit lucky, to be honest, that you didn't have somebody in-house because you had to stay committed to him and you had to see it through. And it looks like now you're starting to reap the benefits of that.
By the way, we obsessed about taking a tackle in the draft for a lot of obvious reasons. But you can see the benefit if you got your left tackle. Holy cow. Does that open the world up, Tyler, to other things you can do in the draft and what you can focus on?
Well, yeah, but I mean, at the time, we didn't have our left tackle.
Well, that's right.
And the Broncos didn't think they had their left tackle either because they declined his fifth-year option.
Correct. So, and we had doubts about the right tackle as well.
Right.
Which were obviously justified.
Mm-hmm.
But once you have that, it opens everything up. And you can take that and multiply it by 100 about the quarterback position. It's the same thing. It just opens everything up for other elements of the team that are really, really important. I promise I'll get to what Stink had. Stink had an interesting take on the offensive line play that was a little bit different than yours. But I wonder if you guys are saying the same thing but just talking in a different language.
Sure.
So I'm fascinated by that. Also, we'll check in with Troy Rank. It's Hot Take Tuesday brought to you by Papa Murphy's. Lay it on us. 303-713-1043. The RamosLaw.com text line. This is The Drive on The Fan.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
All right, our guy, our boy Troy. TV star. Troy Rank from Denver 7, another one of our stupendous Broncos insiders, joins us courtesy
Rocks Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
Troy, my man, how are you, my friend?
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Having a good day. Huh?
Troy, you all right?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Good. What'd you think of Garrett Bowles today?
Fantastic. I mean, he is mature. I give him a lot of credit because he had a bit of an epiphany this offseason that all the criticism, all of, you know, his future becoming uncertain, he took that as a way to get better. Instead of, you know, in his first few years, he was defensive, kind of saying, like, I'm going to do it my way and I'm going to get through this. And he realized, as, you know, Tyler knows, I mean, at some point, it's not about strength. It's not about athleticism. It's about technique and nuances. And he studied that. He got better, you know, and he's put himself in position to get a contract or be a franchise tag guy. But no matter how you look at it, now the NFL stopped calling holding this year. That's helped him. No crowds. That's helped him. But his technique's better. We don't see the wrestling matches. We don't see one penalty ruining a half like we did in the past. So he's developed this great relationship with Mike Munchak. For me, you've got to find a way to keep him going forward. Just because of the fact they have so many other question marks, they cannot go into the offseason wondering about their left and right tackle, because we don't know what we're going to get out of Juwan James. You hope he's good, but he essentially will go 2 years without playing.
Well, where do you think we're headed? Is it looking like a long-term deal or maybe more likely franchise tag?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, because of his desire to stay here and be with Munchak, you go to him and try to get him at, you know, the franchise tag is going to be around 15, it looks like. So could you get him at 15 for a first couple years and then, you know, whatever that number is, because his agent's going to say, you got guys getting nearly $100 million guaranteed. I can't go there with him. I mean, he just, that to me, you can't do it off one season. The guys who are getting that money this offseason have proven it over several years. So I don't want to say, hey, I'm just going to give you an open, you know, blank check. But what I would do, Tyler, is try to get him on a 4-year deal. His age figures into this. He's an older player, you know, so I don't want to go 6 or, you know, I want to go 4. And if I'm not even close, I franchise tag him and I absolutely get a deal done with Justin Simmons. And Simmons for me is different because he's done it over multiple seasons. He's been everything you've asked in your locker room and in the community, and he's your guy. You drafted him, and this is what you want guys you draft to become. So if I can't get right with Bowles and it looks squirrely, I'll say, cool, franchise tag, and let's go get something done with Justin Simmons.
Yeah, I think the tricky part is if you just want to go franchise tag, it's going to be close, just for the sake of argument. Let's say it's close to about $28 million, okay, if you tagged him just 2 years in a row. If you offered him a 4-year contract, well, if I'm his agent, of course, whatever the guaranteed money is going to have to be over $28 million. The question is, well, how much more than that? You know, how much more can you get guaranteed than if you were tagged for 2 years? And then it goes to how much do you really want to be here? This is where Kirk Cousins basically bet on himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, well, you guys are great here with the Washington football team, but I'm just gonna roll the dice. And it really worked out big time. However, I get the sense Garrett Bowles is just a very different human being than Kirk Cousins. And family means a lot. Being around an area means a lot. I really do believe him when he says he loves the Broncos organization and all that. The fans have taken an about face. The media certainly has on him, too. I think the Broncos would be smart, Troy, at this point, to maybe go in with what could be viewed as a relative low-ball offer to just defray the cost, and he's the guy for the next 4 years.
Yeah, and you're right. It has to be more than the franchise tag would be over two, and that's the tricky part, and that's the problem they ran into with Justin Simmons is they were getting around that, and then Simmons said, hey, I see Eddie Jackson money, and that's money I want. And that's fine. I like when players bet on themselves, but it can lead to a disagreement because you're asking for top money, and I like you, but I don't see you as a top guy in the league. And in Simmons' case, he's got an all-pro now, a second-team all-pro, so he's got a stronger argument, and he's got a real good chance to get that again this year, certainly in the all-pro conversation. But with Bowles, I agree with you if you can get it done without it being crazy money, because it still is 1 year. But here's the thing that I think could allow it to happen. He said he wants to be here, and Garrett is intensely loyal. That is his, you know, his personality. So that it's believable. But what flips for me is his relationship with Munchak. He had 3 coaches in 3 years, but it's finally clicked with Munchak. It wasn't clicking before. I think some of it was his own fault. You know, he wasn't coachable. He'd stamp around, and he was dealing with his temper and trying to control that. But with Munchak, he's developed this relationship that if you feel like Munchak's going to be here even a few more years, I mean, you can't as a player, you know, an assistant's going to stay, but if Munchak's going to be here for a few years, that would be my play on Garrett. Because, yeah, the number's not going to be top of the line, but it's really good money. You're a core guy going forward, and we got your guy here with you that's helped develop you.
As far as you know, the Broncos have not approached him about anything yet, though, right?
Yeah, and, you know, dug around on that. If they have, it's been really on the sly. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't mean they wouldn't toward the end of the season. I mean, usually in December, you know how this goes. They go to a couple players and see if they'll take money. You know, in Bowles' case, they have a little bit of a hammer over him with that franchise tag. When it's true free agents, those guys at that point in December usually are like, yeah, I'm good. I'll let the market set my value.
Right.
You know, so, but with Bowles, you do have the hammer of the franchise tag, and you've got to bring Bowles and Simmons back. And I know people get excited about, oh, the money. They're not a good football team. You can't let good football players go. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And especially hometown guys that you've drafted. How many Pro Bowlers have they developed through the draft? How many guys have gotten second contracts? These two have put themselves in that position, so I don't let them go. I find a way to keep them. There's going to be plenty of bargains as free agents at other positions that you can, you know, manage your budget.
All right, I'm going to ask you and Tyler the same question. I heard this earlier right here on The Fan. I'm going to name three players. You can only keep two.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
Justin Simmons, Von Miller, Garrett Bowles. What two are you keeping, Troy?
Yeah, I mean, that puts me in a tough spot.
Yeah, this is a bad game.
I would say Simmons and Bowles only because of the uncertainty with Von, his age. And I've seen, and again, I love Von. I'm a ride or die guy with Von. But if you're giving me that choice, given where they need to rebuild, it makes more sense to get the younger guys long term. And that would stink to see Von leave. I would hope he's a Bronco for life. But if you're going to make me make a decision and I see them as a rebuilding team, then I go with the younger players for that reason.
Thank you, Troy.
I don't know what y'all talking about.
We'll talk to you later. Thank you, Troy.
See you, buddy. Yep.
That's Troy Rank, courtesy.
Rocks Heating and Air, ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
All right, I want to play Mark Schlereth talking about the running game from this morning and get your reaction.
I reached out to somebody. I haven't heard back from them yet, just to see what they called it. Because it's a combination of almost, like, there's...
Mark's talking about the Broncos running game from Sunday. Okay.
There's a counter element to it. There was two distinct things. There was, like, pure power. Then there was... like counter tight end counter. And then there was G lead principle on the front side with almost power or counter principles on the back side. And so it was really interesting because I don't know what, it's not anything I ever ran.
Right.
In 12 years of playing, it's not anything I ever ran. And I have never seen counter. So you're pulling two guys on the back side, whether it's a guard or a tackle, whether it was at one point it was center and tackle that pulled. Based on the front. So you're pulling your onside guard in a G lead scheme. You're pulling your center and your backside tackle. Never seen it before.
You said, though, yesterday, you've seen them do that this year. So maybe you can explain. So,
well, actually, we're pretty much on the exact same page there, believe it or not. The majority of what you saw was variations of power, which is what I talked about yesterday. You know, power is a play that every team in the NFL runs. It's backside guard is pulling for frontside linebacker. And then there's a variation of power that you could run without a tight end to the play side. So you're running to the weak side, but you're still pulling the backside guard, and you call it stutter. So now he's kicking out the in man on the line of scrimmage rather than pulling for the first linebacker in the box. That is the majority of what you were seeing, and that is the majority of what the Broncos have called over the course of the season. Now, the wrinkle that they added in this game was the traditional counter, and very few teams in the NFL run a full counter. And when I say counter, that means backside guard and backside tackle are both pulling at the same time.
That's old school. That's out of the Packers way back in the 60s.
Yeah,
right.
When I was playing, there was one team in the NFL that ran it, and they ran it all the time. They were really, really good at it, and that was the Cincinnati Bengals. They would do it all the time, and you would watch it on film, and you'd think, boy, these guys are crazy. It's a scary scheme to run because you vacate the entire backside, and it's very hard for the center to get all the way back for the in-man on line of scrimmage, and he could crash down, and if he reads it correctly, he's got a free shot from the backside to go run this play down.
He's going
to
catch the running back from behind every time behind the line of scrimmage.
You would think in the NFL, with very talented athletes, they've got the ability to do it. Now, the center's goal is to get all the way back there, but it's tough to pull off.
Okay.
So what Mark was talking about there is you saw a lot of G lead, which is something you would run on goal line situations. So instead of having the backside guard pulling, you have the front side guard pulling. So the front side guard pulls, kicks out the in man on line of scrimmage, and the variation they're running off of that was the center was pulling on the backside. So, you know, in reality, we've been a pulling team, and all of our play action has been built off of pulls, it's been built off of counter, it's been built off of stutter.
So why did it strike Mark as like, whoa, what's going on?
Well, because
here?
We ran the full counter. That's what was new
this week,
right? Okay. So there was a wrinkle that was tossed into it, and there was a few weird things like what he's talking about. in today's NFL, you don't generally speaking see a guard and a center pull at the same time. That's a huge hole that you have to vacate. And so, like I said yesterday, the reason why they were able to run this successfully is because you call traps, you call counters, you call stuff like this on teams that penetrate fast, mm-hmm. and you're able to kick them out because they vacate the line of scrimmage. Teams that stay parallel, you'll probably remember this conversation from yesterday, but teams that stay parallel in the line of scrimmage and they just chase flat, it's dangerous because that end guy on the line of scrimmage, you can't get back to him in time.
You know, we had somebody on the text line saying, hey, no, I'm not trying to be a wise guy, but why is Garrett Bowles so athletic?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you describe what exactly makes Garrett so athletic? First of all, I think you could look at some of these plays and you can sort of get it. Not every tackle can do, and frankly, guard or center can do what the Broncos were doing. You have to have a certain amount of athleticism to pull it off. And as you noted yesterday, you didn't see Damar Dotson and Graham Glasgow doing this stuff.
No, right.
You saw Cushenberry, young dude. Reisner, young dude, and Bowles, not as young, but athletic dude. What makes him so athletic? Why is he athletic?
Well, offensive tackles versus defensive ends or outside linebackers is the biggest mismatch in the NFL. You've got a gigantic human being that is 6'5", 6'6", 315 to 330 pounds facing off against the best athlete on a team. And in my mind, a true premier pass rusher is always the best athlete on a team because they run like a 4.5 40. Their 10 yard explosion is ridiculous. They're just unbelievably talented. So to be 315, 320 pounds and to be able to athletically hang with these guys, it's a freak show deal. And Garrett, it was able to showcase his athleticism in this game more than he usually does because tackles, generally speaking, are not the ones that pull. Mm. It's usually guards. That's what made this game unusual is that we were pulling the tackles. And so you got to see him out in space. And it was fun, man. He looked good. He was athletic. He was staying up at the defensive backs. He was not cutting them, which is the opposite of everything I've always been taught.
It was funny because I heard Stink this morning say, and we'll talk more in the war room with these guys tomorrow, that Mark just thought the idea of pulling was horrendous because he could just get juked so easily by a defensive back.
That's what I was saying yesterday, remember?
You did?
Yeah.
You did say that because you'd look like a fool if you can't touch him.
Right.
So, and by the way, Garrett, like, for whatever the criticism, when it comes to the basics of athleticism, running, jumping, eye-hand coordination, all that stuff, he is extraordinarily talented.
Sure.
He tests like off the charts in those departments, and that is why he was the first tackle taken. He just didn't have a lot of football experience. He didn't. He actually just, if you don't know his whole backstory, he had a kind of a rocky upbringing, that sort of stuff. And when he played at Utah, he was actually a little bit older already. He had a family already. He just, you know, he needed to get going. He needed to go into the NFL. I think he still had eligibility, too. And he just had played like a year of college football in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He was really good. I mean, he was like all Pac-12 and all everything. But, hey, man, I mean, it's just still not that much experience. Hey, good for him, man. It's been fun to sort of break it down. The real question, is this a sustainable approach to the running game, or will teams just catch up? Are teams, you know, different, set up differently than the Dolphins? Is this not a good idea against certain teams? And we'll dig into that starting tomorrow with the Saints.
Ho, 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 Denver, it's Saint Nick Ferguson.
Speaking of Saints, you just heard the jingle. Be the fourth caller right now and win a $30 gift card to Cherry Creek Shopping Center and be qualified for the grand prize of a $1,000 shopping spree to Cherry Creek Shopping Center. Thanks to our friend St. Nick Ferguson, KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. I never thought it would happen. I was thwarted three different times.
Right, right. Were you thwarted? Is that the right word?
Thwarted? Yeah.
Yeah, are you sure?
Would you like to put an In-N-Out bit on the word thwarted?
No, I just think that it was your responsibility, so I don't think it was stolen from you.
I would love to put any bit you want that I use the word thwarted the right way right there.
No,
I was thwarted three times. Put whatever you want on it.
All right, yeah, because I disagree that somebody else prevented you from accomplishing your goal.
Oh, I see. So you're using semantics to say I was my...
You were responsible for your own actions.
I thwarted myself.
That's right. That's right.
All right, well...
Oh, yeah, it'll be another In-N-Out burger.
No, definitely not. But I'm going to use thwarted because I felt like there was other factors that held me up, like being put in a stack. But today was the payoff, and it got done. And in all honesty, it was actually kind of fun to be out in a blizzard, to be there early in the morning, fifth in line, waited about two and change. They said they were open at 10. They really opened at like 9:15. Little inside baseball for y'all if you if you really want to do this. And the line actually, by the time I got the stuff, it really wasn't that bad. It wasn't. It was probably, by the time I got it, based on, you know, the low stack that was assembling, it probably wouldn't have been more than an hour at that point. But, of course, there was a blizzard and it's a Tuesday. And
that helped.
The fascination of this crap has worn off, you would think. But well, did you enjoy it?
I did. It was a good day. I love the fact that you tried to make up for it by hand delivering it to my home, which was a nice little touch. It was appreciated. And I love the fact that I got you on your walk of shame, walking up my sidewalk with an armful of food for my entire family, a drink in one hand. It was fun, man. My kids enjoyed seeing you. You were a good sport. Although you were not thwarted. You thwarted yourself, and now you owe me another burger for irresponsibly using that word.
Yeah, right. So, and Richie got paid off burger-wise.
Right.
As did of anybody who was around here by the time Richie got here. Well, it was remarkable. Parker Hillis, our assistant program director, turned down a double-double.
Right. Well, I've just been informed that there is actually one more burger sitting out there
Shut up. There is not.
I'm probably going to go warm it up and have my second one of the day.
Whoa. Really?
That's right.
There was one left over?
There's one left over. Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Yeah. Richie just handed it to me.
Richie, there was an extra.
Richie had two. And so, I have my second one, but Richie's already had two. Ooh. But I didn't say that on air.
Hey, Richie's probably had enough.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not one to throw.
Three in one day.
Hey, I'm not one to throw stones at glass houses, but I mean, I can call it the way it is.
Right.
All right, so that's done, and I know you love us talking about it, so we'll see what the next adventure is, but put a wrap on that one. And again, it wasn't about the quality of food. You want a real hamburger, you go to Del Frisco's. You want some real food, go to my good friends at Old Chicago. You want to wait in line, you know. But everybody seemed to enjoy it today. It is a Hot Take Tuesday, and if you want to throw it out there, 303-713-1043. The question, it's a good question. I heard earlier in the day on the fan, if you could only keep two out of three, Vaughn, Simmons, or Bowles, what would it be? And I heard Marilat say he wouldn't keep Simmons. That is interesting. A Hot Take Tuesday wouldn't sign. As for Simmons, Elway needs to get him before the end of the season. That's my thoughts. Elway cannot do that. Because he signed a franchise tag, the rule is you cannot negotiate with the person you have the franchise tag on until the season's over and it's a new league year. That's part of the deal.
Yep.
That's something that I think is designed to actually help the player because the franchise tag ultimately helps the club. But that little twist means that if you put a tag on this guy, you have to understand he's going to free agency. You will have to compete against other teams to keep him. That's how I see it, at least. Think that's right?
Sure, it's pretty close. I don't know if that helps the player by not allowing them to negotiate in season, but sure, close enough.
So two out of the three. And when I heard Marilat say, just let Justin Simmons go, kind of caught me by surprise, but I started thinking about it a little bit deeper. Who is easier to replace out of those three?
Yeah.
And when I look at the importance of positions on a football team, it's number one, clearly, by a mile, is quarterback. I would put left tackle at two. I would put pass rusher at three. Safety? Golly, man, I'd put cornerbacks ahead of safety. I'd put right tackle probably ahead of safety. But I put running back ahead of safety. I might put running back in front of safety.
Probably not.
A tight end I might put in front of safety.
Well, point being, I think we all could agree, more or less, that priority list is QB, left tackle, pass rusher. And after that, I probably would go corner, and you could make some debates going further on down the list.
But you would know, in no way would you put safety above left tackle or pass rusher.
I mean, it's not an apples-to-apples conversation. That's not as simple as what it is. We're not talking about Von Miller in his prime. And, you know, I kind of don't like the premise of the question, generally speaking, because I don't know that I agree that it's a true statement. Because you will come to Von Miller and you will ask him to take a pay cut. And if you could get Von Miller to take a significant pay cut, which is what you're going to ask him to take, mm-hmm. it's unlikely, number one, that he'll take it, because he'll likely have an offer to go to contender and he'll probably take that. But if you go to him for a pay cut, which is what you will, and he would accept it for, I don't know, $10 million, whatever it might be, there's still plenty of money to get Justin Simmons done on a long-term deal and franchise tag Garrett Bowles. So I don't know that it has to be one or the other, but if you're going to paint me into the corner on this one, you'd have to say, okay, Vaughn's older, he's mm-hmm. aging, and mm-hmm. he's coming off injury. Justin Simmons is one of the best in the NFL at what he does. Garrett Bowles is currently playing like one of the best in the NFL at what he does. I think time will tell what Garrett Bowles is really going to be, but at the moment, he's playing like one of the best. Mm-hmm. So you probably take the two guys that are playing like the best at their spot.
Yeah. For the sake of argument, because I know being a – like, DeMarcus, I'm thinking with Vaughn right now, I am thinking of DeMarcus Ware.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Cowboys knew after a Hall of Fame career with the Cowboys, they knew DeMarcus was at the end of the line. And they just weren't going to fork him over all that money. They probably would have been happy to keep DeMarcus Ware probably at the same price the Broncos got him for. But, you know, it didn't happen. He came to the Broncos. He won a Super Bowl. He was an incredible leader from day one and was a huge part, even though his playing role, you know, had gone down a little bit. I mean, in terms of amount of snaps, not his role. His role was always important. Broncos called a timeout in the AFC Championship game just to get DeMarcus Ware on the field, called a timeout for one player
yep.
in order to get him out there. And this is just your opinion, but do you think Vaughn would accept the same number financially to go to a contender rather than that same number to stay with the Broncos?
Well, if I was Vaughn, I would go to the contender.
You would?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're in the twilight of your career, man. And you've had one hell of a run with the Broncos. And, of course, it's everybody's dream to retire with the team that you started with. But, you know, sometimes dreams change.
The money's the same, though.
Sometimes the dreams change, and you've got new priorities. And at this point in your career, you kind of want to go win another Super Bowl. So
the money's the same.
Yeah, if money's the same, I'm definitely going to the contender.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
You wouldn't put a certain value in staying with the same team?
If they wanted to pay me more.
No. Money's the same. We're going right. to keep it the same because this is, I think, probably what the DeMarcus Ware situation was.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to the contender. Yeah. I'm in the twilight, man. I don't have years to waste. I don't have time to wait for the rebuild. I don't have time to see is Drew Locke the guy.
Devil's advocate, what about the legacy of staying with one team? Money's the same.
Like I said, I'm everybody.
You've won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, everybody dreams of being able to retire with the team you started with. But sometimes dreams change, and sometimes you want to go win another Super Bowl.
Win another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's first world problems, right? Win another Super Bowl. I can understand it for winning a Super Bowl. I mean, I get that. But that is a little trickier.
No. You play the game to win a Super Bowl.
Doesn't change?
No. Just because you won one doesn't mean you don't want another. If anything, it makes you more hungry.
Really?
Guys that have never tasted it, that have never had success, that have never been to the playoffs, like Brandon Marshall, wide receiver. I don't think he ever once went to the playoffs in his entire career.
Well, you won a Super Bowl and retired.
Yeah. It was different, though. I mean, I was done playing. That's a different story. I didn't.
You think so?
I didn't continue with a franchise that wasn't going anywhere. I was just done playing football.
You don't think you could have scratched out a year or two, like with Kyle at with the Niners, which might have been an option for you?
I do. Kyle was not coaching with the Niners, but ironically, I had a job offer from the Niners at the time.
Well, it makes sense. Who was coaching? Kyle wasn't there yet.
Gosh, who was the coach?
Not Kyle in 2016? Are you sure?
No, it was not Kyle. Kyle got that job after I started in the media. Gosh, who was it? Why am I drawing a blank?
I always thought, wait, Kyle and VJ, they didn't start the same year?
VJ started after I retired. I played for Gary Kubiak, buddy.
They probably did start the same year. That's right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was right there. Would that have made a difference to you if Kyle had already...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if I could have stayed home with a Shanahan,
right.
100% I would have done that. But I didn't want to continue. I didn't want to go down that route. And
I'm done. Your motivation was I'm just done as a player.
I mean, I'm just not even comparable. At that point in my career, I was more than likely looking at being a camp body. And
well, we're gonna have Chad on. Chad chased it, man. Chad chased it.
Yeah.
But he hadn't won one. He had lost one, but he hadn't won one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take your word for it.
Listen, at the end of the day, I think great competitors chase championships.
All right, let me ask you this. All right, hold on. Okay. You just said that, right?
Yeah.
Great competitors chase championships.
Mm-hmm.
Why did Todd Helton stay a Rocky?
You tell me, D-Mac.
I'm not sure.
Did he have the ability to go elsewhere? Was the money similar?
No, he'd have probably had to take some. I mean, listen. First of all, as a player, you got to make that decision while you still have value to somebody. So you can't wait necessarily to the very end. Well, you've got to have some sort of concept like, hey, every year that goes on, I'm probably going to get a little worse, which makes sense.
See, in my mind, you've got two cracks at this. If you have a great career and you've got longevity, you've got two big decisions to make over the course of your career. The first one comes with your first contract, or your second contract, I should say. So that's the first time that you get your real payday. Am I going to stay with the team I'm at? And maybe this is a better situation, actually, where we could actually were a better contender. Or am I going to take the most money, no matter what city that is? And then you get on the tail end of your career, and you've already been paid, you've already made your money, and you got to make the decision, all right, am I going to stay in a city where I'm comfortable, or am I going to go chase a championship with less money?
I got another one for you. Great competitors chase championships. Your words. Right. Great quote. And we'll get to Chad here in just a second. Chad chased. What do you think of Tony Romo? Great competitors chase championships. What do you think of Tony Romo?
I mean, again, you're trying to box me into a corner here where I'm saying people are not great competitors. It's just a general statement that I think that, yes, most competitors chase championships.
I agree with you. Chad Brown joins us courtesy of the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. Chad, do you agree with Tyler's quote, great competitors chase championships?
That's why you play the game, is to win a championship. You don't play for individual glory. You don't play for money. You don't play to play for your hometown team. All those other things are great, and I don't want to dismiss them, but in the end, it is the championships that matter. You know, I've got championships in high school. I've got championships at Colorado. You just talked about how I chased that thing at the end of my career. I spent the last 3 years of my career trying to get a Super Bowl championship because I know how awesome that was at my previous levels, and I could not even imagine how awesome it would be as an NFL player to have that. That's why you play the game, man, is to win championships without a doubt.
So you would think less of a player that chose comfortability over a championship.
Everybody's got their own reasons, and I think it's worded rather harshly to say I would think less of a player. I would know what I would do in that situation.
You would think less of yourself. You would think less of yourself.
Yes, I would. I would know my choices are going to be motivated by championships. Once I've got some money in my pocket, then after that, it's always going to be about trying to win a championship. Absolutely.
Well, obviously, this entire conversation is in relation to Von Miller and what his future is. So, Chad, where do you think we are headed with Von Miller?
Oh, man, it's a good question. You know, to see Bradley Chubb and Malik Reed, go out there and do it, I mean, I'm sure the question has been posed many times in those front offices over there at the Broncos facility of what they could do with $20 million in cap space if they move on from Von Miller. They can do a lot of things. I mean, obviously, Garrett Bowles has played himself into a, you know, bordering $100 million contract, 50-plus million guaranteed. Now Justin Simmons makes a game-winning play. And one of the beasts I've had with Justin Simmons is he's not making these game-changing plays. Well, he goes out there and he does it. So does that spark this conversation upstairs and for the Broncos front office? Those two guys, how do you pay those guys? Clearly, Von Miller, older guy coming off an injury, highly paid. That seems to be a common theme throughout the NFL. And all my experience in the NFL, that's the first guy they try to get rid of, the older guy, particularly an older guy coming off injuries.
If the money was the same and Von had a choice, do you think he would prefer to play for the Chiefs than the Broncos?
Ooh, I think, you know, he would recognize that that would, you know, may have a temporary stain amongst on his legacy here in Denver. But at the same time, that would just be temporary. There'd be some folks who would be upset. But 10 years from now, people would clamor if Von Miller walked around Larimer Square downtown.
Yeah.
And all they would talk about is that Super Bowl and his amazing Super Bowl run he had for the Denver Broncos. Very few people would even mention the fact that he played for the Chiefs.
Don't forget, Neil Smith did something relatively similar to that, to switch within the same division to the biggest rival
for
2 years. Yeah, well, Neil's came. What a dagger to Chiefs fans, because Neil made the switch to the Broncos, and they won two Super Bowls. You know, Neil, you can make the argument on a really, really great team. Neil Smith may have been that difference maker a little bit, one of many, but one of the helpful, you know, difference makers that put him in that direction.
Yeah, I you know, what a player does at the end of his career, you know, everyone's got different motivations. I want to play in front of my folks. Maybe my folks can't travel anymore. I want my kids to see me play. So I want to grow, you know, I want to play where my kids are going to school. There's a million different factors. But again, like I said, for me, it's always going to be about championships. That's why I've always played the game. So if Von Miller were to leave the Broncos, which are, you know, clearly at this point, I think we can comfortably say they're in a bit of a rebuilding phase, versus the Chiefs, who are trying to maintain that razor's edge of being at the top, I would not fault Von Miller for that. I would not say he tarnished his legacy. I would say he's doing the right thing. He's chasing winning. He's chasing a championship.
Chad, did you see enough from Drew Lock this weekend to make you feel maybe a little bit more optimistic that he might be the guy?
No, I did not. I saw a game plan, and I saw a formula that would give Drew Lock a chance to perhaps prove to me that he can be that guy. They run the ball as they did. They take advantage of their athletic offensive linemen as they did. The Broncos defense gives Drew Lock a chance where he's not forced to drop back and throw the ball 48 times like he did a couple weeks ago, or 40 times for the last four games. That's just simply too much Drew Lock. For Drew Lock to be in a smaller dose, it's going to benefit the Broncos, and it's going to benefit Drew Lock's progression as an NFL quarterback. So if I see a few more games like this, without the, you know, was it 0-6 or 0-8 start of the game, then maybe we can have that conversation. At this point, I'm seeing just the structure that will give him the best chance for success. I still need to see him thrive in that structure before I'm able to answer that question more accurately, Tyler.
All right, Chad, I want you to picture yourself as a linebacker with extremely large shoulder pads. Mm. You there?
Which is what I was.
Right. And the running attack against you is what the Broncos were doing with the pulling and the counters and stuff that you, unless you were watching highlights of the Packers in the 60s, you wouldn't usually see. What are you thinking there, and what do you think of that attack in terms of its impact and how you would defend it?
I thought it was really creative, and I thought it took advantage of some of the best parts of the Broncos' offensive line. When I say creative, obviously, you know, there's very little new under the sun as far as football goes. We're always kind of recycling old ideas. But and here, with very limited practice time, we've already seen this now for the last 4 or 5 years since the new CBA, very little padded practice time during training camp, and very, very little padded practice time during the regular season. Defenders aren't ready for pulling guards and how to properly take on those guys and how to have the toughness, both physically and mentally, to do that 10 or 15 times a game. I play in the old AFC Central. That's what we did all the time. I took on pulling guards. I took on pulling centers and tackles and all that stuff as an edge guy. These guys today are not built for that. If I'm the Denver Broncos, I'm going to roll with that until someone forces me to stop. I'm going to have some nuances and some changes from week to week. But if your offensive line wants to go out there and get nasty and try to out-physical people and get pancake blocks, I am all for that. Let's do that because, again, here in 2020, I don't think there's a defense in the league that wants to see that all game long.
Well, it was interesting to see him do it. It was apparently a throwback all the way to the 60s. But is it sustainable? Is it something that they can continue down the road?
I mean, there's lots of ways you can slow that attack down. If you're a defensive back, you don't try to take Garrett Bowles up man-to-man. You chop his feet from underneath him. Suddenly he's slowing down. He's not so aggressive around that corner taking on DBs. You can do the same thing as a linebacker. You can bring a blitz as a linebacker and hit, Dalton Reisner before he gets a head of steam going and knock his butt back into the running back. There's lots of things teams will do if the Broncos continue with that attack. So you have to be prepared if you're Mike Munchak, if you're Pat Shurmur, for what the response is going to be. But I think that attack in some ways forces a defense to be honest. You want to be aggressive and shoot gaps and try to get up the field? We'll trap you and we'll counter you and we'll run pull plays on you. So it's a remedy for what the Dolphins brought, but I think it's a structure that they can take forward. Again, it doesn't have to be the exact same game plan. That wouldn't work. But the structure you can take forward and keep bringing these types of plays tuned specifically to the opponent that take advantage of what these guys do best. Dalton Reisner and Garrett Bowles are not road graders. They're not just fire off the ball, the old Cowboys offensive line kind of thing. These guys, their best attribute is their athleticism. Garrett Bowles is one of the most athletic tackles in the league. Why not take advantage of that at every opportunity you can?
You know why it's so good is because...
I had my wife line up and she would run after me and I would take my sets and I'd put my hands on her. Not hard, of course, but just enough so I can get into a repetition of continuing to do the same thing over and over again.
Hey, come on. You gotta involve your wife with your sets, right, Chad? I mean, I'm sure you had your wife kind of line up as if she was, like a guard or something. Or maybe
I would always let my one-hand stab on her.
Right.
Well, I could go in a lot of directions with that, but I'll leave it alone. All right, Chad, last one real quick for you and Tyler. Tom Brady not shaking Jared Goff's hand at the end of the game was a blank move. Fill in the blank. Tom Brady not shaking Jared Goff's hand at the end of the game was a blank move.
I've seen him shake hands before, so he can't use the COVID excuse. As much as I respect Tom as a player and as a competitor, sometimes he takes that stuff too far. Shake the dude's hand. Be a sportsman. Your legacy is also a little bit at stake here. You can finish your career as a great quarterback who's a bit of a, rear end, or you can finish your legacy as an amazing quarterback who was an ambassador to the game and always congratulate those young upstarts when they beat him. I've got Tom this weekend against KC. I'll certainly be seeing if he shakes Patrick Mahomes' hand after the game.
That was the longest fill-in-the-blank answer I've ever heard in my life. I was looking for, one word. I got, a paragraph there.
Bush League.
Bush League move.
Yes.
You want to boil it down to one word, Chad?
I'll go with bullcrap.
Okay. There you go. Thank you, Chad. We'll talk to you later.
See you, buddy.
All right, take it easy, guys.
That's Chad Brown, courtesy of the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. It's Hot Take Tuesday. We got some great ones on deck, as well as a comparison to what Tim Patrick and Jerry Jeudy are doing as a twosome. We have seen it before. You'll want to hear this next.